welcome us. And may I please know whether there are any apologies?
Thank you, morning members, and thank you, Chair. I've received three apologies. In fact, members will be joining us late. Member Majege, Israel, and Member Dev and Mr. Ngotho. Thank you, Chair.
Consideration and adoption of the committee report. Okay. Members, let's go to point three, which is consideration and adoption of the committee report and annual performance plan.
Good morning, members. Thank you, Chairperson. So today we'll be considering the draft report of the Portfolio Committee on Women in the Presidency on Annual Performance Plan Budget Vote 13 of the Department of Women in the Presidency and the Commission for Gender Equality for financial year 2017-18, dated 23rd of May 2017. I already noted the first error there. I had 2016 on the copy you have. I just corrected it up on screen for 2017. Just in terms of the process, the key issues we'd be spending more time on would be the observations and recommendations. That's the latter end of the report. But what I will go through is just highlight some of the issues up until that point in the report. The Portfolio Committee on Women in the Presidency, having considered the annual performance plan and budget of the Department for Women in the Presidency for 2017-18, as well as the Commission for Gender Equality's annual performance plan for 2017-18 on 9 and 16 May 2017 respectively, reports as follows. Just to note that in terms of both the department and the CGE, they did not submit a revised stat plan. So for the department, we're still dealing with the stat plan for 2015-20, and for the CGE, it was up until 2018, and they indicated to us that this year they're planning to review this strategic plan. So technically it's only the APPs for department and the CGE and the existing stat plans for both our department as well as the CGE. So in terms of the introduction, we just provide an overview as to when the department was established. Number two looks at the key mandates and purpose of the department. And again, to reiterate, it's to lead, coordinate, and oversee the transformation agenda on women's socioeconomic empowerment, rights, and equality. As we move over to page two, policy priorities for 2017-18, the department indicates in its 2017-18 annual performance plan that there is sufficient policy and legislation to address gender equality and has resolved to focus on policy and legislative implementation as well as conducting reviews and gap analysis. The overarching outcome for the department is the achievement of an informed society that upholds the socioeconomic empowerment of women and gender equality, which implements gender-sensitive policies. So in terms of the strategic objectives, this is outlined in the stat plan for 2015-20, the promotion of strategic leadership, good governance and so forth, promotion of gender, mainstreaming of socioeconomic and governance programs, such as the accelerated justice Digital Society for Women. The third priority is the promotion of gender knowledge, analysis of policy and policy implementation for the socioeconomic empowerment of women. And then the last two focuses on the promotion of monitoring, evaluation and reporting systems, as well as the promotion of public participation in the work of the department. So with those strategic objectives, they develop programs with relevant targets. So in support of these strategic objectives, the department indicates in the 2017 estimates of national expenditure, which is the ENE, that its focus over the medium term will be directed at three core areas as highlighted below. Firstly, it's analyzing, evaluating, managing policy and program implementation, and they give an indication as to how that will be achieved. As you move over to page three, the second one is around mainstreaming women's socioeconomic empowerment. And again, it indicates how the department intends doing that. Thirdly, it's raising awareness and public participation. So that, in essence, covers the strategic objectives as well as the priorities for the medium term. We now move on to number four, at the end of page three, which looks at the budget analysis for the department for 17-18. According to the 2017 ENE, the department receives a budgetary allocation of 206.2 million for the financial year. Of this, 78.3 million constitutes the transfer to the Commission for Gender Equality, leaving the department with an operating budget of 127.8 million. This is an 800,000 increase in the department's operating budget as compared to the previous financial year. And Crystal had gone through with us the detail around what the allocation is as outlined in Table 4 for each program, indicating as the nominal and real change. As we move over to the next page, at the top of the page, an examination of the key cross drivers reveals that 56.2% of the department's operating budget, which is 127.8, is allocated for the compensation of employees, and 40.8% is allocated for goods and services. When we look at the comparison to 2016-17, where it was indicated the department was allocated 57.39% in its operational budget in terms of cost of employment and goods and services, and that in terms of goods and services, the main cost drivers are travel and subsistence, which is 16.2 million, the property payments 15.8, and expenditure for external audit costs 3.5 million. These three line items consume 68.1% of the goods and services budget. In the second paragraph on that page, we look at issues related to HR, and again to highlight, for 2017, the staff complement is 105. 72 staff members are within the administration program, which is 68.5%. And the greatest proportion of staff, which is 35, falls in the level 13 to 16 salary band, which is senior management, at a combined cost of 41.3 million. So the unit costs come to about 1.2 million a person. 4.1 looks specifically at the administration program. This was allocated 6.4 million less than in 2016 financial year. However, it still consumes the highest proportion of the department's budget. This remains a concern as the department's core mandate is carried out in program 2 and 3. And again, this is a finding which the committee has noted previously and brought to the attention of the department. So in the E&E, there are no listed objectives for the program. However, the annual performance plan indicates a strategic goal for the program, which is outlined as noted in that paragraph. As we move to the next page, table 5, what Crystal had done for us is looked at the sub-programs and compared the current financial year 2017-18 to the previous financial year and showed us what the difference in allocations were. The sub-program objectives are also outlined. As we move to just below that objectives indication, approximately 60% of the budget allocation for this program, which is program 1, is spent on cost of employment. And this is a higher percentage than in 2016 financial year, when 57% of the allocated budget what's the cost of employment. And again, to reiterate, the 72 staff members within that particular program. There are 13 targets which have been planned for, and amongst others, these were outlined in those bullets indicated. As we move over to page 7, we now on to program 2, which is social transformation and economic empowerment. We give you an indication as to the purpose of the program as well as the objective. And then it consists of 4 sub-programs. And again, as we noted with program 1 above, we Crystal has outlined for us for each sub-program the allocations that compared it to 2016-17. And we can see that there's a marked difference and an increase in terms of the allocation. If you move over to the page, you'll see so in 16-17, program 2 got 14.5 million, and in 17-18, 16.1 million. Again, we outline the sub-program objectives and then provide an explanation as to the allocations. So although the total program allocation as per the ENE is 94.9 million, again to reiterate, 78.3 million constitutes a transfer to the CGE, leaving the program with an operating budget of 16.6 billion. Of this, 8 million, which is about 48%, is for cost of employment, and 8.3 is earmarked for goods and services. So 3.4 million of the goods and services budget is allocated for travel and subsistence. The NE indicates that the program will have a staff complement of 12. So for 17-18, we're looking at 12 staff members for program 2. The department's revised strategic focus on policy and legislative implementation review and gap analysis is both noticeable in program 2, as many of the program objectives have either been amended or revised, while new objectives have also been introduced. And just to pause there, when the department came to us, they discussed the revised APP, and we looked at the transition from the revised APP in 16-17 to our current APP of 17-18. So 6 annual targets have been identified for 2017-18, including the development of a gender-responsive budgeting framework and a framework for women's in financial inclusion. Given that the department's core mandate, which is to champion gender equality and achieve women's socioeconomic empowerment and rights, it is concerning that since its inception restructuring in 2014, it has not developed and implemented these frameworks. So we know these frameworks are very, very important. But since the department was established, they indicated that they would be looking at gender-responsive budgeting. But up until this point, we haven't received that draft framework. The committee hasn't been able to engage with it. But they do note to us they're busy working on it. Just to highlight the end of that paragraph, the department also identified the development of a policy framework with sanitary dignity as a target for 2017-18. The aforementioned target is new and was introduced in the revised APP of 16-17, which was tabled in the last month of the of that previous financial year, which is 16-17. As we move to 4.3, this program, 3 concerns policy, stakeholder coordination, and knowledge management. We outline what the purpose of the program is, and then indicate that the consists of 5 sub-programs. The allocations have been compared to the current financial year 2017 and the previous financial year 16-17. So like we've done with all the other programs, we show you, as Crystal noted to us, the difference in allocations. These are the sub-programs and what they received in 16-17 as compared to 17-18. We're now on table 7, page 10. So if we look at the total again, this program 3 in 16-17 got 23.1 million, 17-18, 28.2 million. So there's a significant increase in the allocation. And just an explanation a bit about the program. A total of 7 targets have been planned for program 3. The program has a total allocation of 28, of which 48.5% is allocated for cost of employment, and 8.4 million, which is 49%, is allocated for goods and services. Of the goods and services budget, we're now on page 11, 10.4 million, which is 36.8%, is allocated for travel and subsistence. And the E&E notes that there will be 21 staff allocated to Program 3. And just to highlight, as we close off this Program 3, it is hoped that the department will monitor the outcomes of these engagements and develop implementable recommendations to further women's empowerment and gender equality through these initiatives. So Program 3 also deals with the country reports. And so it's not just about the reporting and submitting reports, but also monitoring the recommendations. Number 5 looks at the Commission for Gender Equality. 5.1 provides a background to the CGE. 5.2 provides members with powers assigned to the CGE. As per the Act, 5.3, strategic focus of the CGE and budget for 2017. The Commission for Gender Equality aims to ensure that gender equality is promoted and unfair discrimination is eradicated within the policies and practices of government and other state institutions and private organizations in line with outcome 3, where people feel safe, people in South Africa are and feel safe, and outcome 11, create a better South Africa and a better world of governance, 2014-19 medium strategic framework. So the CGE's focus over the medium term will be on ensuring that gender equality is promoted and unfair discrimination is eradicated within the policies and practices of government. And as we move to page 13, it gives an indication as to what those priorities are. So hosting quarterly gender transformation hearings and assessing the performance of the country in implementing policies and programs. So for 2017-18 period, the CGE received a budgetary allocation of 78.3 million, which is an increase of 8.4 from the 16-17 financial year. So how will the mandate of the CGE be realized? And it would be done through 4 strategic objectives. Like we've done with the department, we'll take you through each strategic objective and look at some of the allocations and targets. So the purpose of the strategic objective 1 is to ensure the creation and implementation of enabling legislative framework that promotes the attainment of gender equality. The program, this strategic objective, is just over 10 million for 2017-18. There are 4 sub-strategies. So for the first sub-strategy, it's been allocated 4 million. In terms of B, initiate and participate in the review of a legislative framework, the allocation is 640,455. In terms of C, the allocation is to conduct it concerns periodic performance assessment of priority ministries, political parties, private sectors on the effective implementation of gender legislation. The allocation for 20, I think it's 17-18, not 16-17. 17-18. We're just going to change that now. And then D, around the implementation of justice facilities, it received an allocation of over 3 million. E, which concerns dialogues with relevant stakeholders, has an allocation of over 700,000. So for strategic objective 2, just to highlight, it's been allocated over 20 million for 2017-18. That there are 4 sub-strategies. The first sub-strategy receives over 10 million. Again, for B, and we're just going to correct that. It's not 16-17, it's 17-18. Receives over 1 million. The coordination program to promote gender equality receives over 5 million. D, which is concerning sustainable development and promotion of gender equality by addressing violations in social, cultural, political, economic security and human rights dimensions. again sees an allocation of over $1 million. E, which is around the collaboration with civil society, it sees an allocation of over $1 million. In terms of strategic objective 3, which is the end of page 14, it's to monitor state compliance with regional international conventions, covenants and charters, which have been acceded to or ratified by the Republic related to the object with the of the Commission for Gender Equality. So, at the end of page 14. Yeah, I just corrected it. Thank you. So, strategic objective 3, as you move over to page 15, received an allocation over $11 million for 17-18. There are two sub-strategies. The first received an allocation over 950,000, and the second sub-strategy received over $10 million. In terms of strategic objective 4, which is technically the administrative program, it received an allocation of over $35 million. Again, all the sub-strategies are identified. The first receives an allocation of $14 million. The second, which is around the financial management system, over $9 million. The third, which is around the IT infrastructure, over $3 million. The HR policies received over $7 million. Just to pause there, I don't think we had many questions to the CGE around, I think Ms. Teke, you had made one question around what you're going to review. And I'm not sure whether we received any feedback from the CGE yet, but I know Nelis had asked that they give written feedback to the committee. So just to pause and note, it's quite a huge sum, and we did ask why so much money, what are you looking at? So E is around the community.
Before you proceed, where are you?
On page 15.
D, because I wanted to comment on that point, on D. You know, I'm not quite sure whether it's a standard format of government to every year develop or review your HR policies. I think these are existing policies that we normally utilize in government departments. So when you then, I think we have some of the questions we have raised them, but I'm not quite sure whether we have received answers from CGE. Look at the amount that is allocated to the HR. It's a lot of money. It's quite a lot of money just for to develop. They're there. So I think we have to make follow-up in terms of this issue. Thanks.
I think what we could do, maybe during the break, we can just send an email to the CEO, so just a reminder to send that request. We emailed, I think, last week, Thursday, to indicate to them, please ensure that the information is with the committee before the budget vote, ideally today. But so far we haven't received, but we'll do it definitely in the break. So in terms of the last sub-strategy for strategic objective 4, which is around the communication, it received an allocation of over 700,000. So from 6 onwards, this is particularly important, and what I will do, I'll take guidance from members. I can either go through all the observations and all the recommendations, and because I think maybe that would give members an opportunity to see what all the issues were. Otherwise, we can go through page by page, but I'll hear from members.
Thank you, Chair. May I propose that Kashifa takes us through everything, and while listening to Kashifa, members can make their notes. So as ideas come to everyone's head, then they write them down, and then in your hands, Chair, whether you want to break or whatever, we continue, and then we go page by page with the proposals.
So I'll take us from 6 to the end. So having met with the department to scrutinize the strategic plan, annual performance plan and budget for 17-18 and the Commission for Gender Equality and its APP for 17-18, the committee made the following observations. The reason I included the strategic plan here is because when Crystal and I took members through your briefing, we didn't only look at that APP, we compared it to your the strategic plan. The strategic plan of the department as well as the CGE. So in terms of 6.1, our observations are divided in two between the department observations and the CGE. The intent of the program and sub-programs are commended, however translation into tangible outcomes and outputs was of concern to the committee, which is hereby expanded on below. So in other words, from the onset, the overall consensus which we had seen from the committee is we acknowledge that the programs and sub-programs and what the intent is, but members had asked since the inception, show us what would have been your actual deliverables. So one, the positive is we acknowledge and commend the fact that there are programs, but we also indicate what the committee's challenge were in terms of the things we did not see. In terms of general matters, 6.1.1, alignment of the strat plan and APP, the committee welcomes the tabling of the APP within the required time frame. Having examined the requisite documents, the committee notes that the links are not coherent between the 2017 APP, the strategic plan 2015-20 and the respective EED 2017 chapter. The committee noted as a concern its lack of involvement in the department's strategic planning process, this despite repeated requests to the department to be timeously informed and invited to an issue which has been brought, or this issue has been brought to the attention of the department on numerous occasions before. C, the committee was concerned with the slow pace of progress in delivering on the objectives as outlined in the strat plan mid-year through the MTEF cycle. In terms of SMART targets 1.2, the targets within the APP are not SMART and lack the requisite detail. The technical descriptors are also not specific enough. 6.1.3, management and accountability. The committee observed that of the 10 strategic objectives and 27 key performance indicators, DDGs are only assigned to one strategic objective, which deals specifically with the governance and audit action plans, and the CFO was assigned 4 KPIs, which are key performance indicators. The CFO is responsible for, and I've just indicated what those 4 KPIs are. The rest of the KPIs are assigned to chief directors and directors as the key persons responsible, which the committee questioned. The committee requested clarity on the lines of responsibility in terms of holding the deputy director generals and the director general accountable for responsibilities linked to program 2 and 3. The committee was concerned that without a clear indication of the lines of accountability being stipulated in the APP, that are linked to targets and indicators, holding the budget holders and key decision makers to account would be challenging. And just I'll pause here, just to indicate to Chairperson, what we had found in the APP is, at the back of the APP, each indicator is described. They tell you how they're going to do it and who's the key person responsible. What we found is that there's only one strategic objective in which the DDGs are responsible for, the CFO is responsible for 4, the rest of the indicators and targets are linked to chief directors and directors. And the concern is a chief director in terms of its decision-making and budget holder responsibility is lower down. And where is the interconnection between your chief directors and the DDGs? And if it's not stipulated in the APP, where is it stipulated? 6.1.4, attendance at oversight visits. The committee noted with concern that despite numerous requests for the department to accompany it on oversight, to date, the department has not attended any. The absence of the department on oversight is concerning for the committee, as other departments are present to not only note issues for follow-up, but also respond to matters during oversight. Furthermore, the committee noted that the department has a large delegation of 9 officials that attended the 2017 United Nations Commission on the Status of Women, this despite complaints of fiscal constraints and limited capacity. 6.1.5, on policy review and law reform, the committee noted this just before, I think the issue with the oversight is, the concern that was raised by the department is, we lack staff to send you on oversight and we lack the resources. And what was raised was, well, if that's a legitimate issue, how is it that you could send 9 officials to New York for 2 weeks? All we're asking is not even for 9 officials to come on oversight with us, but maybe just 1 or 2. So I think that's why we had that as an observation. 6.1.5, the committee noted with concern that the department's position on the framework on women's empowerment and gender equality of 2000, even though it is outdated and refers to governance structures such as the Office on the Status of Women in the Presidency, which is no longer in existence. The position in terms of a chairperson was that the committee noted, while we're still using this policy when the policy is old, and the department's position is no need to change policy. The committee notes that the department indicated that it will be assessing policy and law, however these have not been specified in the APP. In terms of 6.1.6 finances, the committee's overall concern was the slow pace of progress and lack of deliverables by the department, but with consistent expenditure. In terms of B, as we move to page 18, the committee notes with concern that the administration program continues to receive the greatest proportion of the budget, which is 83 million, and has the highest proportion of staff, 72. This was concerning as the core mandate activities for the department resides within program 2 and 3. So 2 and 3 receive 16.6 and 28.2 million rand respectively. C, the committee notes concern that program 2, which aims to champion gender equality and achievement of women's socioeconomic empowerment and rights, a core aspect of giving effect to the department's mandate, receives the smallest operating budget at 6.6 million. So program 2 is kind of the heart of the giving effect to the department, that it receives the smallest allocation. 6.1.7, HR, the committee notes concern CFO position has yet to be finalized. And just for chairperson, at the moment we have an acting CFO. The department indicated to us there's an interim arrangement that they have, that there's somebody, I think, was on contract that was assisting, but they would look at filling the position of CFO towards the latter end of this year. In terms of program-specific matters, program 1, in terms of goods and services, which is 6.1.8, the committee noted with concern the exorbitant cost for property payment and audit fees as compared to other departments with relatively small budgets and bigger staff complements, but spend less on renting property and paying auditors' fees for the current year, 2017-18. So, for example, the Department of Public Enterprises, with a total budget of over 266.7 million, allocates 3.4 million on audit costs, which is about 3% of its budget. Similarly, Department of Economic Development, which has 141 million, after we take into consideration the transfer to ICT, the Economic Development allocates 3.477 million to audit costs, and that amounts to 2% of its budget. In terms of property payments, Public Enterprises allocates 10 million, which is again 4% of the budget, as compared to the Department of Women, which allocates 15.804 million, which is 12% of its total budget. terms of 6.1.9 risk management, even though the department identifies targets for undertaking a risk assessment annually and developing quarterly risk mitigation reports and has done this since its inception, a revised APP is submitted for the past two consecutive years, a month before the end of the financial year. This brings into question whether the issues that arise within the risk report are dealt with and if the recommendations are implemented. The committee is concerned about whether the audit and risk committee is functional given the review of the APPs for 2015-16 and 16-17 at the end of each of the respective financial years. And just to pause, the risk committee is very important and the quarterly reports that the risk committee develops, because that would bring, before it even comes to us, they would indicate to the department and the management, this is what we are concerned about, this is what we recommend. So what the committee is saying is, we have this committee, you're developing reports, you're saying you're complying, but there's a mismatch. Because for two consecutive years, we had a revised APP. We should not have a revised APP if the risk committee picked up beforehand what the issues are and those recommendations were implemented. And just to follow up to note to members, when we do the fourth quarter for 16-17 with the department, we have extended the invite to the chairperson of the internal audit committee to also brief members. We couldn't do it for the third quarter, but we will be doing it for the fourth quarter. Program 2, 6.1.10, the sanitary dignity. The committee commends the department for taking the call by the president in making sure that the country develops a framework for the distribution of sanitary towels in order for the country to have uniformity in distribution. The committee acknowledges the lack of access to sanitary towels for many impoverished young girls and women as an issue which the department intends looking at. The committee was concerned that the department was developing a framework on the sanitary dignity plan, but it was not an implementing or service delivery department. The committee noted that having recently engaged the Department of Basic Education, it was informed that the Department of Basic Education did not know the scale of the problem as to how many girls at school do not have access to sanitary towels and what the impact on school attendance is. In addition, the Department of Basic Education informed the committee that it had not budgeted for the provision of free sanitary towels to school girls who require it. C, the committee questioned how the department was developing a policy. It is not the budget holder for dispensing the sanitary towels. Hence, the committee was concerned as to how the department would be costing the policy. In addition, the committee also queried how the department was defining indigent women and girls within the policy. E, the committee reiterated the department the importance of zero VAT on sanitary products as an issue to pursue, as this would enable a broader reach. The committee noted the department's efforts on sanitary dignity, but urged the department not to lose sight of priorities such as gender-based violence and sexual reproductive health care, which are broader and more cross-cutting issues in the context of poverty. Hence, there could be part of a more inclusive approach to deal with the lack of access to sanitary towels. So, in essence, the issue of the sanitary dignity campaign, the first thing is the committee acknowledges this is an issue, but there were practical concerns. How do you develop a policy if you don't have the budget and if you're not going to issue this? And how are you actually working with other departments to develop the policy? So 6.11, assessment of the 9-point plan. A, the committee welcomes the focus on assessing the implementation of the 9-point plan from a gendered perspective. The committee was not satisfied that the department had not specified which departments within the economic cluster it would be assessing. And this is specifically in the APP, because it says it would be looking at the 9-point plan, but doesn't give the committee an indication which departments and which programs was in the 9-point plan. Furthermore, given the department's limited resources and capacity, in the absence of a monitoring and evaluation framework, along with a list of clearly identified indicators, and any other assessment tools, the committee was concerned as to how precisely the department would deliver on this objective. 6.1.12, So again, just to pause on the 9-point plan, we're not saying the assessment of the implementation of the 9-point plan is not important, but we're needing to know how they're going to do that and on who they're going to do that. That's not specified within the APP. Gender focal point. The committee affirms the importance of strengthening the role of gender focal points within government and the department's effort for wanting to address the matter. The committee was concerned that the department was focusing on the framework for GFPs, but the deliverables on the broader gender mainstreaming framework was not forthcoming, as this was not tabled by the committee for consideration, before the committee for consideration. To date, then the department has spoken of a gender mainstreaming framework, but we haven't received any document that says this is what our gender mainstreaming framework looks like from the department. The committee was concerned with the slow pace of progress on targets related to GFPs, as this has been a deliverable since the inception of the department. It appeared as a KPI in the revised APP of 2014-15, and I just noted what that was, review institutionalization of gender focal points and in subsequent APPs. But no deliverables in this regard have been tabled with the committee for consideration. This was a cause of major concern. So we note that this is an important thing, but yet again, as with the gender mainstreaming framework, we haven't seen anything tangible. The committee also noted that the previous Department of Women, Children and People's Disability, in addition to the Department of Public Services and Administration and the Commission for Gender Equality, had produced extensive work on GFPs. To this end, the committee was concerned that the department was not drawing sufficiently on the body of evidence that exists within government on GFPs, which could aid its work. The committee noted with concern the lack of collaboration with the department and the GFPs in the Office of the Premier based on recent oversight visits in Mpumalanga and the Eastern Cape. And again, the issue of the GFPs, the committee is aware of what government has already produced. There are documents. On the oversight visits, we engaged with two officers of the Premier in terms of OSW, and they indicated to the committee the lack of formal collaboration with the department. In terms of 13, gender responsive budgeting, the committee welcomes the development of a GRB framework by the department. However, the committee was not satisfied with the slow pace of progress in developing the framework, as this target has been planned for since the inception of the department as it appeared in the revised APP of 2014-15 under the Economic Empowerment Sub-Program, with targets related to consultations with DPME and National Treasury. So again, we noted that this is important, but it's actually been there since 2014-15. GRB has appeared subsequently in all other APPs since then, but no tangible deliveries in terms of an actual framework or tool has been reported in any of the annual reports of the department, nor has a draft framework been presented to the committee. This is concerning mid-year through the MTES cycle, and the department continues with its consultations during 2017-18 and only intends finalizing a framework by the end of this financial year. So that, in other words, by March 2018, we are hoping to get a GRB framework, which means implementation of that framework will only happen in the 18-19 financial year. The committee was unclear as to what the link was between the targets related to the 9-point plan and the women's financial inclusion framework and the GRB framework. So that was the concern. They've got all these frameworks, but how are their frameworks actually speaking to each other? How do they interlink? 14 looks at the national dialogues. The committee queried whether national dialogues were effective in terms of eliminating gender-based violence. The committee was not satisfied with the lack of detail provided in the APP and queried what the cost of national dialogues were, where these will be held in 2017-18. Financial year and what expected outcomes were envisaged. The committee questioned the nature of the collaboration with the Department of Social Development as the lead department for implementing the policy relating to addressing violence against women and children, as well as that of other stakeholders such as CGE, SACS and Department of Justice. B, the committee was unclear as to how many dialogues would be actually held in 2017-18, as there was a discrepancy in the amounts that appeared in the E&E and the APP. So in the E&Es, they refer to 6 dialogues, but in the APP, in one section there's 9, and in another section there's 4. So, yeah, so we're not really sure for 17, 18, how many are they planning for, and what, how much money they've allocated for that. Program 3, Community Mobilization and Outreach. The committee noted that the department will hold community mobilization and outreach, as well as community participation and initiatives, and question the difference between the two activities as these were not clearly defined. The committee was also not clear as to how the department determined the costing for these initiatives. In terms of country reports, number 14, the committee noted the country reports were compliant, but reiterated the importance of monitoring and evaluation of what emerges as recommendations from these reports. So we're not saying country reports is not important, but the issue is, when it's a recommendation that comes from the report, what is the department doing to monitor whether that recommendation is being implemented? Yeah, so it's twofold. It's not just about the compliance of submitting a report. So the gaps the committee has identified. The committee identified the following gaps or areas that were not addressed by the department in the 17-18 APP. A, the committee noted with concern that the following deliverables were not planned for in 17-18. The gender mainstreaming framework and strategy, the monitoring and evaluation framework with indicators, revival of the national gender machinery, the development of a national plan, national prevention strategy, an integrated program of action for violence against women and children, implementation of the recommendations of the status of women in the South African economy. Just to pause there, the issue of the national gender machinery, that has been raised to us, besides the CGE, by several, even on oversight too. The importance of the gender machinery, that's just a coordinated mechanism in which the department engages with civil society and with various other stakeholders. Because that's one avenue in which you can raise awareness, distribute information, and have a coordinated approach to many of the initiatives. B, the committee was concerned that the department was not following up on the implementation of recommendations as outlined in the Status of Women in the South African report, as this was not reflected as a target in the 2017 APP. Point 2, this looks at the observations for the CGE. 2.1, the SMART targets. The committee noted with concern that the targets in the APP were not SMART, as more detail was required to hold the CGE to account on deliverables for the said financial year. B, the committee noted the omission of key persons responsible for each strategic objective and KPIs in the APP and raised it as a concern. Just to note to Chairperson, in the CGE's APP, what we found was they outlined what they're going to do, but for example, we lacked the details we're going to engage in the private sector, who specifically in the private sector. And there's no indication as for each and every strategic objective who the key person responsible is. So the committee noted that as a concern. In terms of finances, number 6.2.2, the committee noted the concern the funding challenges of the CGE and the impact this would have on giving effect to its mandate and to extending its reach. The committee noted the significant budget increases in the allocation of particular sub-strategies from the previous financial year and requested more detail in this regard. 6.2.3, HR. The committee was concerned that provincial offices were not capacitated enough to deal with the workload and therefore questioned what the current workforce, whether the current workforce would suffice. And that's purely based on our oversight. We've seen that on legal clinics, legal offices and the education and research, they're dealing with many people, and that was just one legal office.
Sorry, sir. Excuse me, Chairperson. I just a request for clarification of SMART. Because to me, SMART means something beautiful.
Thank you, Arnold Kola. It stands for specific, measurable, achievable,
realistic
and time-bound. So in other words, when the CGE says they would be having engagement around transformation in the private sector, we want to know, they must be specific with the private sector. So if they say mining, in the mining sector, which mining organization, every quarter, where specifically, so that's the issue of it not, the targets not being very small. Wasn't very specific, wasn't always time-bound, wasn't always measurable, achievable, or realistic. What I will do is, I'll put it in as a footnote, so that right from the onset. GRB stands for Gender Responsive Budgeting. Yeah. I think at the onset I'll perhaps do a list of acronyms at the beginning of the report. So we'll have a list of all the acronyms. So in terms of program specific matters, which is 6.2.4. The committee noted with concern that the commissioners were not clearly linked to the strategic objectives and key performance indicators as outlined in the APP, thus holding them to account would be challenging for the committee. So again, if you look at the link between the first issue and the specific matters, if our target under strategic objective 1, 2, 3 outlines they're going to be doing transformation hearings and legal clinics, we need to know where's the link with the commissioners, which commissioners would be responsible for doing what. But the APP doesn't outline that. In terms of B, the committee also noted that during its recent oversight visits, it would appear that commissioners assume more of an overseeing role, that the bulk of the responsibility falls on the officials, such as the legal officer and education officer, as we observed at a legal clinic. It was thus important that the committee indicated that the deliverables for all commissioners are clearly outlined as per the priorities identified in the APP. C, the committee questioned the nature of collaboration between the CGE and the Department of Women on matters related to gender-based violence, specifically the national dialogues, gender mainstreaming, and gender focal points. D, the committee questioned the links between the CGE legal clinics that are conducted very successfully and the national dialogue initiatives of the Department of Women, as the committee was concerned that there may be duplications. To this end, the committee questioned whether the CGE was called on by the department to follow up cases that arise at a dialogue. E, as we move on to page 24, the committee questioned whether the legal clinics are being planned for in areas where service delivery processes have taken place. F, the CGE was commended on its use of the gender barometer and reports produced. 6.3, gender-based violence. The committee reaffirms its commitment to addressing the scourge of gender-based violence in the country. The committee acknowledges the initiatives identified by the department and the CGE to assess the root causes of the problem and identify solutions. So what I've just done with 6.3 is to acknowledge both what the department is doing as well as the CGE. And this is particularly important given all the media coverage that has happened of late. And we need to give due recognition to initiatives are taking place. 6.4, this covers the responses by the department and the CGE. So the department responded in terms of the policy framework and indicated that it will not be developing a monitoring and evaluation framework, a gender mainstream framework, as it has already been identified broadly by government departments. The department is currently reviewing the gender point policy framework. The department will brief the committee on the monitoring and evaluation assessment, M&E systems, and impact assessments. The department is also working on the gender responsive budgeting framework with National Treasury to develop a mechanism for ensuring women access funding from different departments. In terms of international obligations, the department will forward to the committee a list of all the international obligations and how regularly the country is expected, required to report to respective international communities, such as the UN or the AU. For national dialogues, the department indicated that it conducts research and develops a social profile of an area before conducting the dialogues. Rental and audit fees. The department indicated that it was as concerned about the high audit fees and was working on improving this by providing the requisite information to the auditors to avoid additional time spent by auditors on auditing. Furthermore, the department indicated that the rental fees for accommodation include the outstanding amount owed for 2016-17, which was $7 million, and municipal services, which was $3 million. But I think just on that $7 million, what Crystal had reiterated to us, we actually didn't pick that up in the annual report from the previous financial year. It wasn't stipulated there, not at all. Difference between community mobilization and community participation initiatives. The department indicated that the community mobilization focuses on initiatives such as Techno Girl and Young Girls program, and community participation is a continuation of the community mobilization initiatives. The 9-point plan, department indicated that it will be undertaking a retreat to workshop and decide which areas within the 9-point plan it should focus on and which areas to support other departments. Hereafter, the department will report to the committee 14 days after the workshop or retreat. Just to indicate to chairperson, so once the department had briefed us on the APP, which was the Tuesday, they indicated that they would be going on a retreat to do a workshop that weekend. So we should be receiving that report by the end of this week. In terms of sanitary dignity, the sanitary dignity policy is being developed in consultation with DPME, basic education, higher education and health. The policy will be tabled for public commentary in June 2017. Rural girls and women have been identified as indigent. With oversight visits, the department, the minister indicated that due to the limited number of core staff, which he says is only 20, and budgetary constraints, the department is unable to send officials of the committee to attend oversight. In terms of the CGE's responses, in terms of the first one, the Employment Equity Commission's report, the Commission indicated that the report concentrated on the private sector and that the country is doing poorly with regard to gender equality in the workplace. As indicated, there was only 22% of women at SMS level. Furthermore, the Commission indicated that the public sector is doing much better as compared to the private sector, and the committee should engage with the Department of Labour and the Public Services Commission on the issue. In terms of the role of commissioners, the committee was informed that the commissioners have partnerships with the Department of Correctional Services and Justice and the Foundation for Human Rights, as well as other organizations on issues pertaining to women. Furthermore, the CGE was working with women on farms on issues and held engagements with the public protector on its provincial visits, and that the CGE have various thematic areas, which is each covered by a commissioner. In terms of the electronic management system of case handling, the Commission indicated that it has an electronic system for handling cases. Participation in the national dialogue, the Commission indicated that it has been invited by the Department of Women and had legal officers deal with matters that arose at the dialogue held in the Limpopo province. In terms of vacancies, the Commission indicated that the post of the legal officer in Mpumalanga has been filled in quarter 3 of 16-17, and that the Commission is in the process of reviewing its organogram of the CGE in order to deal with the issue of vacancies and limited resources. In terms of legal clinics and hotspots, the Commission indicated that it gathers information in a particular area before conducting the legal clinic and uses this as a basis for deciding where a clinic should be held. In terms of tertiary institutions, the Commission indicated that it has invited institutions together with the legal offices of provinces and relevant stakeholders to the meeting at the CGE's offices. So, in conclusion, the committee thanked the department and the CGE for the presentations and emphasized the importance of submitting initial information as requested. As we move on to 8, we will now look at the recommendations. So having considered the strategic plan, APPs and budget for the Department of Women in the Presidency and the CGE, the committee recommends as follows. A more astute and stringent oversight measure was required to hold the department to account when receiving funding but not delivering, and this was an indictment of the women in the country. 8.1, department of, again, I've split the recommendations between the department and the CGE. The committee recommends that the Minister of Women in the Presidency ensures the following are implemented. For their SMART targets, A, the department should reformulate the targets in the APP and ensure these are SMART. B, the department should provide in writing to the committee as an addendum to the APP before the submission of quarter one for 17-18 the following. The first Roman numeral clearly indicates how the DG and DGGs are held to account for targets identified in program 2 and 3. Clearly define what intervention mechanisms are, and these intervention mechanisms will find within the targets for program 2. Indicate how these interventions would be implemented, stipulate who would implement these interventions, identify the cost implications and who would be responsible for bearing the cost, provide more detail on outreach initiatives such as the number of intended beneficiaries that would be targeted, the location and how these, the impact would be measured. Clearly stipulate which policies and laws will be assessed in relation to which specific departments. Clearly indicate which country reports will be submitted for consideration during this financial year. I'll fix the numbering on the left. 8.1.2, policy. The department should prioritize the review of the framework for women's empowerment and gender equality as a matter of urgency, and that this must be made available throughout government and civil society. Why is this important? That's the overarching policy for the country. If that policy still refers to old structures, for a new official coming into the Premier's office or a department, mm-hmm. if they don't know any different, that's the policy they're going to refer to. So if it must be fixed, it must be fixed, and it must be made available on GTIS or submitted to departments. The department should report back to the committee on its monitoring and evaluation framework, system and indicators at the quarter one report of 17-18. The department should expedite the completion and implementation of the gender mainstreaming framework and the gender responsive budgeting framework and report on progress every quarter. The importance of the reporting on every quarter is whether they bring the committee a draft framework. The committee then has an opportunity to look at the framework and say, but you haven't considered X, Y, and Z, or yes, we agree with A, B, and C. As we move to page 28, 8.1.3, collaboration. The committee reiterated that the department should collaborate with key stakeholders. To this end, in order to avoid duplication and waste of resources, the department should look at existing baseline information like that of the Commission for Gender Equality and Department of Public Services and Administration in relation to gender-based violence and gender mainstreaming, as well as the progress of other departments to avoid duplication. The department should ensure that the national gender machinery at the national and provincial level is revived and report back to the committee on a quarterly basis in this regard. In the previous term, the Department of Women, Children, Persons with Disabilities used to tell the committee, during this quarter, we had engagement with the National Gender Machinery, and this and this was raised. So if you think of the gender-based violence matters, which has taken so much coverage in the media of late, if the gender machinery was up and running, you would engage at a national and provincial level and say, let us take stock, what's going on, what's happening. So that's the value of the gender machinery, but it has to be functional. 8.1.4, finance. The department should make concerted attempts to reduce the audit fees and property payment and report to the committee on a quarterly basis on progress in this regard. Human resources. The department provide a comprehensive report which details number of resignations, suspensions, cases before the CCMA, names and reasons for the aforementioned. I think just to pause here, there were two investigations that were done in this year carried over in the previous financial year. I don't think we got any of those reports, but I think those are HR-related matters, which again is important. 1.6, property payment. The minister should engage with the Department of Public Works to reassess its lease, the exorbitant rental as a means of cost containment. Oversight visits. The department was urged to accompany the committee on oversight in order to follow up on issues identified. Addressing gender equality in workforce. The department should examine the annual reports of departments to assess gender parity within the workforce. Gender responsive budgeting, 1.9, we're now on page 29. A, the department should request that each department indicates what percentage of its budget is allocated to services and programs for women and how gender responsive budgeting is currently implemented. B, the department should request that each department reports on questions related to gender focal points. C, the department should assess the targets of each department in the economic cluster as outlined in the annual performance plans to determine if these hinder or aid gender mainstreaming and gender equality. And the department should identify at least two priorities within each program. I'm just going to pause here, but I think around the gender responsive budgeting, maybe what we could do for A, I'm just thinking out aloud, in terms of each department indicates what percentage of its budget. Maybe we could say as a start, link it to the economic cluster. So instead of asking all our government departments, start with the departments within the economic cluster as a first point of call. So I will, each department within the economic cluster. Then at least it cuts down the amount of departments our department needs to look at. In terms of 10, the 9-point plan, the department should define its targets relating to the assessment of the departments that are implementing the 9-point plan from a gendered perspective and focus specifically on the economic cluster. The committee requested an action plan that expands on the following, the list of departments that or entities that will be examined, provide a clear indication of how gender mainstreaming will be assessed within each department, indicate how each of the department mainstreams gender, identify the envisaged outcomes, provide a clear indication of how gender responsive budgeting will be assessed within each department, and determine how much each of the identified departments is currently allocating towards women's economic empowerment. 5, identify the number of women that each department intends targeting per province, indicate how the department will be working with the gender focal points within various departments identified in this regard and note challenges experienced as well as best practice. The department is to submit quarterly progress on the implementation of the aforementioned and brief the committee accordingly. So it's actually given a department a nice framework in and by itself to say if you're going for the economic clusters, hypothetically there's 13 to 18 departments. And they could say over the next quarters, we're going to work with these 6 departments and this is what we're going to do and this is how we're going to ask, and then report back to the committee. We've assessed these and this is what we found. The CGE does it in terms of the transformation hearing. The recommendation is to enable the department to do it with us as well. 11, which is the Sanitary Dignity Campaign on page 30, the department to shop should submit to the committee in writing what the magnitude of the problem related to girls' lack of access to sanitary towels as well as their gaps, and what the best practices are, and how the provision of sanitary towels to girls living in poverty can be improved. So the first point of call is, what's the size of the problem, so that we have an indication as that will inform issues of the costing. 12, gender-based violence and national dialogue. The department should provide the committee with a detailed program for the planned dialogues to be held in 2017-18 and the forecasted costs per dialogue. The department should prioritize efforts towards contributing to the prevention strategy on violence against women as children, as created by the Department of Social Development. department to submit more detailed information on the national dialogues to the committee by providing the plan for the year, clearly indicating the number of intended dialogues it will host, where these dialogues will be conducted, the cost and a program outlining the procedure at a dialogue. The committee D will arrange a stakeholder engagement on gender-based violence with a view of convening cooperation with other relevant parliamentary committees, a gender-based violence summit to address the scourge of violence perpetrated against women and children in the country. Just to pause here, it's something the committee has been wanting to do, to engage with people on the ground. And I think it's an opportunity to say, as we work with the CGE and the department, those people, both of them are doing work, and how can we look in terms of our oversight? Part of our mandate is to have stakeholder engagement. So as we do that, we hear from organizations, women, what are the current issues? And many people will say, but we know what the issues are. Yes, it's true, but it's also about the committee being mandated from women so that you take these issues forward. So when you have an engagement with other portfolio committees and other departments, there's an opportunity to say, now that we've engaged, this is what's coming up. But it's a recommendation for discussion. In terms of 8.2, the CGE, A, the CGE should ensure the targets in APP are SMART and the key persons responsible should be clearly indicated. A report should be submitted to the committee at quarter 1, 17-18 presentation. B, the CGE should consider focusing on services delivery industry to assess the rate of transformation in terms of gender equality. The committee urged the CGE to share and discuss its gender parameter and tools with the Department of Women, who have yet to produce an M&E framework. Just correct the M&E. On gender mainstreaming, D, the committee agreed that the issue of one woman, one hectare should be pushed within government. And it otherwise stated the committee hereby requests a response to the aforementioned recommendations within 3 months after the adoption by the National Assembly. So that in summary provides the committee's budget vote report for 17-18, looks at our key observations as well as recommendations.
Great job, thank you.
May I open for clarity? Teenager?
Thank you, Chair. Okay. I feel affronted and not empowered by you, Madam Chair. Okay. I'm just going to go page by page to record all of my contributions that I've made notes on, and then hand over for discussion, agree, addition, whatever. We said that we were going to then do our inputs after going through the document on the notes.
Yeah.
I won't be, I don't know. That wasn't...
That wasn't clear. May I please ask that the questions we raise for clarity must be based at page by page.
Then we will need you to lead, Madam Chair.
Sorry?
We will need you to lead us and call page 16 and then we provide our inputs page 17. Then we'll provide you with our inputs.
I don't think there could be, but I'm open to correction. Page one.
think the members should make their input. Thereafter, we look page by page after we have filled in those details. After we have agreed on those pages. I don't know what is the feeling of the committee. Like, for instance, if the member is saying that she has an input on page 18, then we look at page 18. Then thereafter, we go page by page.
That accepted?
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. There's no order here.
Yes, ma'am.
Chair,
I'm trying to say, let's see that this group. This member
suggestion is going to take us back and forth.
Hmm.
We just have to do the first one page by page and then we finish with the whole thing.
Okay.
Chairperson, can I just ask, so are there any issues members noted between page 1 to 15?
No.
Because 1 to 15 covers what is in the department. From page 16, it's the observations and recommendations. Everything from 1 to 15 was literally based on what was in the E&E and the APP. I will check for where there was a spelling error and grammar. That we've noted and we'll fix.
Okay. Honourable member, you're on the floor.
Thank you, Chair. On page 18, 6.1.7A under Human Resources, one of the other concerns that I think this committee noted was that the department told us, in kinder words, that they basically said they are bloated when it comes to staffing. They, because the staff were absorbed from different areas, they now sit with a large staff complement, not necessarily with the skills related to what they need to do. So one of our concerns are that the department is underskilled and underutilized, and then in the recommendations that they need to assess the organogram and come back with a report on their planned restructuring and capacitating. That means that how are you going to get people who don't have a positive impact on the company now upskilled and doing something? On page 21, 6.1.14,
Sandra, you must finish 18. 18, let's deal with 18. Otherwise, the others, because we've got very limited time. Let's hear what you're saying about page 18, and Kachifa, make sure you actually capture that.
Can I ask for observations? So I've noted Ms. Sanders' issue on page 18, but can I just check before we go on to page 18, for page 16, for your observations for 6.1, is there anything there that members feel should be added or changed? Because then we can also go ahead to say it's agreed to, because remember the adoption would be based on amendments, but we need permission from the committee to know that your observations clearly reflect what you want. So on page 16, are we okay with all the observations there? And the same for page 17, and then we can proceed to Honourable Standards, page 18, recommendation.
Okay. Honourable Member, you're satisfied with that, so that we don't revert back if other members have questions. Yes, ma'am.
Madam Chair, the way I understood it is that I was being given the opportunity not to go page by page in that 16, then everyone talks, then 17, that everyone talks. I structured my input that I was going to deal only on the pages and clauses where I had a contribution to make. So I had nothing wrong with 16 or 17. There was that little contribution in 18, and then I was going to proceed straight through to 19, 20, and don with the four or five contributions I had to make and then finish.
Oh, okay.
So if you want to do it page by page, Madam Chair, could you then say page 16, and then we all agree or raise our hands?
Okay.
17, because just so that there's a bit of
order
and understanding.
Yours was in page 18. Any comment on 16 or prior to that? Yes, Honourable Member.
Chair, I was wondering if under each observation there we have concerns, and I was wondering if maybe, for lack of a better word, we shouldn't have under the same topic things that are not concerns. Like the positives.
Which page is that?
Almost every page. The committee is concerned. The committee is concerned. The committee is concerned. And there is. I don't know. This was just a suggestion that maybe we should also include that.
What's the feeling of the committee? I'm aware.
Maybe I speak from ignorance.
Yeah.
Because it is
not
my first time.
Yeah.
No,
we're not
addressing ignorance or whatever. We are just wanting to pick up the important areas of concern.
No, that's my concern.
Okay.
I'm talking to that guy. The new member. Please don't punctuate what I'm saying. Thank you. Honourable Member, this is the format. All reports are actually structured. But we do understand your concerns. And as time goes on, you'll be walking in the same path like us.
Okay.
Guess what, Galatata? Do you understand, member? Do you accept what I'm saying?
I don't understand you.
Is that me?
No.
Oh, you. Okay. Sorry, I didn't hear.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, to assist you. Member is Honourable Gonzo, so a new member that has joined the committee. Because I know that he has joined the committee while you were not here, but I would like to assist the member to say we will talk of the concern on the observation from page 16. That is where the observations of the portfolio committee, where we have listed some of the concerns that have been observed by the committee. Not every page is written the concerns. It's only from the observation, which are started at page 16. Yes. then, yeah, that's it. On page 18, also on the human resources, we have noted the portfolio committee, the concerns of the CFO position. But I think this has taken so long, but I don't know how are we going to put it in the report. Because I don't know whether we can give a department a time frame to fill in this vacancy, because we are now talking about the budget where the person who is supposed to account on the budget is not yet filled his position, is still acting. So it's a very real concern to the members. But I don't know how are we going to put in the report that we need to give the department the time frame to do so. Thank you, Chair.
It's 2 years, but I will now go on to go back and show look. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to make a comment that while I understand the gentleman is concerned, we're not saying the good things.
No.
We are not here to do that at the moment. That is in your general reading. We are looking at the inadequacies and where the department and the CGE have not met with our requirements of what we need for them to provide a service. So that is why that this is the case. And we have to point out where there are problems, because that's what oversight is all about. So I think we should really carry on with what has happened already, with input has been given on page 17. Now we just carry on with everybody giving their input, and then we can get through to it, because the time is marching on and this report has to be delivered tomorrow. And that's what oversight is all about. So, we must just point out where they are not good enough, where they're not reaching our standard, and that's what everybody here needs to say. Thank you.
Point that is been raised by Honorable Chiu. When you look at the HR recommendation, it talks to the comprehensive report of labor issues, your CCMA, your resignations, your suspensions, those cases that were put before this. So I think it must come as an observation first. We only have it as a recommendation, but
yeah,
not as an observation.
I think it's to be a general input. All the information must then come
up.
The whole report.
That's what I'm saying.
Not just on that one. Thank you.
I'm not quite sure, Chair, if my input will be in order. Kashiva, when you talk about your goods and services in Program 1, we are not specific in terms of the money which was spent by the Department of Women in terms of the audit fees. We are just making a comparison when you look at the whole paragraph, but we are not talking to what we have paid or what they have budgeted for in 2017-2018, which I think is plus minus 3.4 million. Something like that. We'll just verify the figures, but it must be, it must reflect on this paragraph.
Nothing on 19 or 20? Okay, I'm waiting for page 21.
Chair, I'm on 19 on paragraph B, 6.1.10. The issue of the committee being concerned that the department was developing a framework. They have to develop a framework, Kashiva, to oversee the department, despite that they are not a service delivery department. They have to develop that plan. You understand what I'm saying? So remove that. It's like you're questioning that they are not, we know that they are not a service delivery department, but they have to develop that framework. But all departments that are overseen by them in line with sanitary health have to be in uniform with their plan. Thank you very much.
Chair, I think the process as for now, it's still on a consultative form. So I don't think it's proper for us to question the policy, because they've not yet came to our department to come and present. It's still in a consultative, we're still waiting for them to come and present. There were just some highlights that the sanitary towels will be distributed to indigent girls and rural girls. But the entire policy proposal is not yet tabled through to the portfolio committee. So I'm not quite sure how can we then deal with the issue. My input is that we should not go in details in terms of the policy, because
So that would be around C. So maybe Crystal's suggestion is the committee required more clarity by the department on how it was developing a policy. Would that, what? So we're not disputing, but I think the committee's thing was, well, tell us how you're doing this. I think Ms. Chair was saying, how do we know what you're covering and who you're engaging with? So we're not disputing that you should or shouldn't be doing the policy, but how are you going about doing it? And because remember, the committee's oversight responsibility is when that policy comes to this committee, you must look at it and say, does it make sense? Doesn't it make sense? But at this moment in time, you don't even know what the parameters of that policy is. So what I could suggest is the committee required more clarity from the department on how it was developing a policy.
Maybe give them a time frame also on how long they have to present. When are they supposed to present?
Okay, so that can be our recommendation. So I just want to capture. I think there are two key issues I want to raise with the committee around the sanitary dignity. One, the committee needs to get clarity how you engage in.
Yes.
2, the costing of a policy is very important. If you don't cost a policy, it's not going to be implemented. So that means it's just going to... So those two things are crucial. So what we're expecting from this department in terms of our recommendation is to give us a draft report, and number 2, on the policy, but also tell us, are you thinking about, if you're going to implement this, what the cost is? And given the fact that they are not service delivery, who's going to be doing the costing? So, for example, if it's health that's going to give sanitary towels and basic education, can our official decide, actually, a pack of 24 pads is going to cost 12 rand, we're going to issue 50,000 pads, it's going to come to 7 million. We can't do that. It's a program from health in that particular sub-program says, but no, I can't issue 50,000, I can only give 20,000. So it comes back to who's designing the policy. Yeah, so there's two things. The committee needs clarity on how they're developing the policy and who is doing the costing. Yeah. The costing is very, because we can have a really great policy, but if there's no money committed to it, health will say, but you didn't consult me, I don't have money. Basic education say, I'm building schools, I don't have money to give you free pads. So what I could do is change the committee required more clarity. From the department on how it was developing a policy, if it's not a budget holder for dispensing the sanitary towels, full stop. So again, just to reiterate, the policy framework is important, but how the committee wants to know how you're doing that, and who's doing the costing. Because, think about it, Minister Batabele and Minister Motsoaledi will say, how can you develop a policy for me when you didn't check to see whether I've got the budget for it? And how realistic will it be? So therefore, how are you doing it, and who's doing the costing? So that's the key observation. Because then Ms. Chair's recommendation would be, in quarter 2 and 3, report to us on how far you're with the framework, and who's doing the costing.
This means that we'll only have, in terms of the sanitary dignity, we'll have those two recommendations only. So we're deleting the rest. No? Agreed.
Okay, when you're mentioning that we're going to delete all the other recommendations, are you still speaking on page 19 or which page? You said we're going to keep 2 and delete the rest. Or was that on page 19? Okay. Page 19 is only the observations. So that is just what has the committee noticed or observed about the department and the concerns that we had about them wanting to develop a policy or framework without the relevant departments. Now, if we go back to the department's mandate, it says the Department of Women is to lead, coordinate, and oversee. So the role of Department of Women in the Sanitary Dignity Campaign is to get together all of the stakeholders, to get health, to get education, to get social development into a room and say, how are we going to do that? That is all they can say. They cannot tell health do this or do that or whatever. The only thing Department of Women must say is, right, where are we now with regards to who has access to sanitary towels. who are those who need it? And this is when they say that they are a knowledge and information hub. They don't know nothing. But they must find out. They said they've identified quintile 1, 2, and 3 schools. So if we even start there, now who's going to pay for it? Who's going to distribute it? Where are we going to source it from? How much is it going to cost? All of these things, Department of Women cannot make a single decision. Only ensure that the process starts, that there's a time frame attached to it, and that it is implemented, and then monitor that it is actually happening. Because in terms of the of women's mandate, the minister or yourself or myself, there's no one in the department that can say we are going to deliver sanitary towels to such and such a girl so often or whatever. This department, the observation basically has to be that that there seems to be a misunderstanding of their mandate, and that our recommendations are that they call this collaborative meeting with the relevant stakeholders, with the spheres of government, with the various departments, and Department of Women must lead. They must lead, they must collaborate, and they must oversee. So they must initiate this and have that indaba. But they cannot actually, and the product will be the framework or the policy. But they have to get the people together who are actually going to do it. They must do it now.
They are working on that.
They said by June.
Next page.
Can I just get clarity? So we're concluding on 19. On E, that I specifically took from Ms. Chiu. Ms. Chiu had told the department, we're not saying a focus on sanitary is not important, but you should also be pushing and exploring zero rate VAT.
Yeah.
Do I keep that observation?
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Okay, that's fine.
Please.
F, can I get clarity again? We can keep that in. We're not saying sanitary towels is not important, but don't lose sight of bigger things. Sexual reproductive health, gender-based violence.
Absolutely.
Can we keep that?
Yes.
Thank you. Now we can proceed.
Page 21. Stander.
Thank you, Chair. 21.6.1.14 National Dialogues. A. I would prefer that to read the committee queried how national dialogues will be effective, because we can't query whether they will be or whether they were in eliminating, but we can ask the departments, are they sure that these are going to be so, and but more specifically how. So my proposal is that A reads, the committee queried how national dialogues will be effective in terms of eliminating gender-based violence, because if they cannot answer that question, they shouldn't embark on it in the first place. If you don't know that what you are doing will contribute to eliminate gender-based violence, then why do it? So they must have an idea how first. Another addition in terms of the... yes, ma'am. So I'm proposing E, and I haven't worded it properly, but that we as a committee, we noticed that there was no plan, no program, no list of dates, times, venues, provinces, cities, municipalities. There was absolutely no information on these national dialogues in terms of how, when, and where they're going to happen. So, and also they didn't have any, they didn't list any of the stakeholders or people. How are they identifying the women that they are going to invite? How are they deciding on which facilitators to choose, etc.? Are they including representatives from other spheres of government, from other departments to come and participate in this? So that plan has been absent. We've requested it from them as a committee. We are yet to receive that. And then linked to A, what is the specific outcome? They say they're going to give us a report. One report. For what? For why? So you're going to give us a report telling us what? Are you going to give me a report saying, telling me the sky is blue? Or are you going to tell me that the fundamental issues facing women in a particular area is water and sanitation and housing, or maybe access to clinics and social grants? So that report, to say that's something that they're going to give us a report on what?
Honorable Stander.
Yes, ma'am.
You're now talking of social social grants. That's social development.
No.
I am querying what you uttered yourself. Okay. So let's stick to this department. Social development is on the side.
I'm aware of that, may I clarify? Never mind, I won't have any further input.
Why?
I'll say it in my budget speech. Fine.
You're going to?
I'll withdraw and hold my breath.
Can you use your mic? Because everything we say here is recorded.
I said in that case, if I'm not going to be given the opportunity to have my very valuable inputs recorded or noted, then I'll just leave it and put it on the record in some other way or manner.
Here to address issues and wholeheartedly, so don't then just leave me in the lurch.
Never.
Because you're doing it right now. I'm not fighting anybody here, but I need clarity. When you come up with a query, unpack it. All I've said to you right now is the grants fall on social development. Anyway, I'll leave it at that, Honorable.
I asked you. Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. In page 21, 6.1b, I think this is covered. Where it says the committee was not satisfied with the lack of detail provided on the APP and queried what the post-staff national dialogues where these will be held in 2017 and 18 and financial year, and what expected outcomes were envisaged. In response to that, the department has to say where these are going to be, what outcomes. If I remember very well, we checked how do they determine where do they go, and they explained that they check with the statistics from the Department of Justice, Social Development, etc., etc. So I think Kashima has covered it, if I'm correct, in item B.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not responding on point B, but I'm on one. The committee queried whether national dialogues were effective in terms of eliminating gender-based violence. I think last year we have received a program of partly of 16 days of activism against violence for women and children. And I think this observation talks to that program. And two, Honorable Stand, I think you joined the committee late last year. They've provided a detailed program of the dialogues which were conducted in Limpopo. Last year it was Limpopo. This year is going to Mpumalanga, though I'm not quite sure in terms of the details of the areas. But last year they've provided details of where the dialogues are going to be conducted to. Actually, they've also extended the invitation to this committee. The chair and the whip went there, unfortunately. Mina Lopet, we were disappointed by the logistics of Parliament. But the recommendation one, I think I agree to, and the recommendation that you wanted, the observation that you wanted to add in E, I think it falls off, actually, with the explanation that I've just given.
I think D should be B because the in terms of sequence. Yeah. So if you take D into B and then the B becomes the C. Thank you.
Madam Chair, I'd just like to suggest that one of the observations I had as a committee member was that the Limpopo project was a pilot. Now, you still need a plan and a program and some kind of plan for the next year. You can't just say, I'm going to have dialogues without knowing how much it's going to cost, where you are going, who are you inviting, which other departments or representatives from different spheres of government need to attend with you. At a cost of over 22 million rand, you don't just go blind. There has to be a plan. And one of my concerns as a committee member, I would like it recorded that when we are going to spend that kind of money, you can't decide next week what you are going to do next month. You've got to have a full year. In fact, one of the recommendations that I wanted to tie into this is that we need a plan, a budget, for the whole 2017-18 18-19 period. When you are going to spend that kind of money, you must know in advance where you are going, who are you talking to, and what do you want at the end. At the end of those dialogues, are they going to tell us 40 women suffer from domestic violence? But after 22 million rand, they're going to come to us and say, shame, women suffer domestic violence. We know that. How is this intervention, sorry Denise, I've spilt over the water. How is this intervention, how are these dialogues that we're spending this money on going to ultimately assist in preventing and eliminating violence against women? That report, when we are finished with these dialogues, that has to be, and the women have to receive some sort of tangible benefit at that dialogue. So if a woman stands up and she says, my boyfriend has threatened to kill me, who is going to be there to help her? Is there going to be someone from social development to put the children into safety? Someone from police to take the case number down and for investigation? Someone to give her a counsel? No, no, no. If we are going to have a dialogue with a woman, that does not mean we come and we give you a t-shirt and a box of food and we tell you, we're looking into this. A dialogue is about listening. It's about helping. Not going there to preach to women. You must have an objective, and that objective must be a report that is going to do what? How is that report? What does that report tell us at the end of it? That report, what is it going to contain? Information on what? Is it going to tell us how many women live in South Africa? Is it going to express the fundamental issues that women are facing in different areas? This is the thing. It just says that the outcome on their APP is a report. Madam Chair, B and I have read this entire document word for word. I'm also making specific reference. I understand that it says it's not satisfied with the lack of detail, and then it asks about cost and where, financial year, and expected outcomes. They've told us the expected outcomes is a report. I'm asking as a committee member that they must outline what the specific outcome of that report is going to be. A report on what? They mentioned to us they're going to do social profiling. I don't need to know how many black, white, and women at this age or that age, and so many are suffering from this, that, or the next thing. We need to know how are we going to address, how are these dialogues going to address? Yes, Chair.
We're talking about a specific need of the people out there.
Precisely.
And then I am turning around,
yes,
and holding it to you. Read B and D.
And C.
I think your concern will then be
okay. It hasn't, but perhaps in the recommendations it can be. But it's not.
Honorable Bengu, your hand has been up.
Dialogues, and they have elaborated on what they are going to do. Then I was saying that on national dialogues here on page 21, it has been captured clear. You know, that is why we were saying that B and D was also exchanged. And to say that the also to advise the Honorable Standard that, you know, the department has been almost every time when we ask them about these national dialogues, they were always giving the answers. It's a pity that, you know, when we are meeting as members of this portfolio committee, members, they just left the meeting early without getting the information. Thereafter, they will come out with their own observation. These things of the national dialogues have been discussed at length by the department. The other thing is about the report that the department has said that they are now embarking on visiting Mpumalanga. What we are waiting as a committee is a report, a detailed report on which areas are they going to in Mpumalanga, a plan of Mpumalanga. Thereafter, they will come out, after they have finished with Mpumalanga, they will give us a report, then they will move to another province. So that is what we are waiting for. For now, I'm saying that as for now, in page 22, the Kashuba has captured this correctly to say, also the department is a late department. They have told us that they have invited all the stakeholders, including the Chapter 9 institution. Thank you, Chair. Page 23, 6.114 on country reports and compliance. The committee noted on page 22, program 3, under 6.114 on country reports and compliance. I would like to say, Chairperson, that we, as a committee, also observe that there is a concern with us as these members of the portfolio committee that before the report, the country report is taken to the cabinet, it must come to the portfolio committee for us to look at it, to check it, and thereafter it goes back to the cabinet. Because what we have found out is that, you know, on this country report, we haven't seen those country reports, except to say we will see them when they come back after a long time or a year. You know, that's a concern of us as this portfolio committee, that we need those country reports to come to the committee to be discussed before they are taken to the cabinet. That's a concern. Thank you, Chair. For us to make them an input as members of the portfolio committee.
You'll advise me, Chair. Yeah? You'll advise me if I'm in odd. We are dealing with the gaps identified, Kashiba, and I'm of the view that there are lots of comparison in this document with this present ministry and the previous ministry. And in the previous ministry, there was this Women Empowerment and Gender Equality Bill. that the lapse in the fourth parliament, it was already in the NCOP, and we're done with that bill. Yeah, it was with the NCOP. So I'm not quite sure how can we then fit in the gaps identified. Because we are talking about enforcement, we are talking about compliance, we are talking about 50-50, but we are not going to get it as long as we don't have a legislation that speaks to that. These are gaps. It must come back. It should not.
No, Chair, I'm happy with the report. I think it is well covered, so I've got nothing to contribute at this stage. Thank you.
So, Honourable Seti, I've got on the screen the committee noted with concern. The committee noted with concern the absence of strengthening legislation to address compliance in terms of gender equality. Given the lapse of the wage bill. Just one key thing we did note in our briefing. The additional courts bill is in front of Parliament.
Mm-hmm.
Nowhere in the APP does the department indicate that in terms of legislation, this is where they're going to give input as a Department of Women. This is what we feel the position is.
Mm.
So I could put as D, the absence has also been in terms of the department's legislative input for bills before Parliament, example, the additional courts bill. So we're not limiting it only to additional courts bill, but where's the department, the CGE gives a submission, the department has the right to do that as well.
Mm.
So another gap would then be,
thank you. Now I do have something to say, and it's just triggered my memory, that I think we must call for more cooperation between our committee, health, education, and the sanitary dignity one, but particularly with justice. I mean, this traditional courts bill and various others. If you think about the talks about the decriminalization of sex workers, and everything that affects the plight of women where the courts are not functioning optimally, we need the input and it needs to be shared with us. Unfortunately, our meetings don't always allow us to go to other portfolios, which I would like to do. But I think we really need to call for greater cooperation, and when things go wrong, that people come and account to us as well. So I think that call must just be added, that we have greater cooperation and interaction, cross-pollination. We can't work in silos.
I've just noted the committee notes with concern the absence of legislative input in terms of bills before Parliament,
yeah.
Example, the Judicial Courts Bill by the department in its APP. APP for 2017-18. So it's just broadly around in terms of program two or three, where's the department looking at giving input for bills that's before Parliament in terms of a submission.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I'm saying there on page 22, the last sentence there on B, as the gaps identified, that we, as a portfolio committee, we have a concern that the department was not following up on the implementation of recommendations of the status of women in South Africa, African economy report. That as the portfolio committee, we need to invite the department to give us to brief us on the state of women report. To put it in our program, so that we can meet with the department. Thank you.
On 6.4.1, the department indicated that it will not develop a monitoring and evaluation framework and gender mainstreaming framework as it has already been identified broadly by government departments. Which departments have identified that? Because they are not mainstreaming. The departments that we call, all of them were not mainstreaming. So what is the department saying here? We don't agree. No, I'm saying as a committee, we're not agreeing with them that there is any mainstreaming that is being done because they have abandoned the monitoring and evaluation of departments. So far, they have not spoken to departments yet. We have spoken to departments, various departments, and we found out that departments are not mainstreaming. So this response, I don't know. How do we respond to this? To this response?
Honorable Chair, I think policy and frameworks, we asked the department about the gender mainstreaming framework and a monitoring evaluation framework. And they responded by saying that it is not their job to, no. What can I say? They can't develop another gender mainstreaming framework because it has been already identified broadly by all the government departments. That means it's known to to all departments. So them as a department of women, they can't just give it all another. But I don't know whether I kept it correctly. Ms. Kobrensege will say that.
How they are treated now.
Thank you, Chair. This was the responses came from the department. Ne? You agree. And then Tina, we must come up with a recommendation, which I think is covered in page 27A in terms of the policy. Because further, we raised the matter in the committee, and the minister was referring to this old South Africa's national policy framework for women empowerment and gender equality. We made follow-up the very same day in that meeting that this is outdated. It refers to your old OSWs, which are no more in existence. So he said, no matter what, and it also mentioned the national gender missionaries, which you don't want to work with. We raised it in the meeting. So, do you know, Minister? So the recommendation is covered in, our recommendation as the committee is covered in page 27. Maybe when we reach page 27, we can be able to add what you were saying. Yeah, in terms of our oversight.
Chair, can I, what we've captured under responses is exactly what the CG and the department did. We can't change that. Just given time, I humbly request that we actually look at the recommendations, which starts on page 26. We can't change the responses. That's what the CGE said, that's what the department said. But we can definitely, we need the committee's guidance for your recommendations. So if we can move directly to page 26 and see what would you like to strengthen, please.
I think before we move, Kashiba, remember we had time constraints with our interaction with CGE. And they wanted to respond, actually, to some of the issues that we have raised. Unfortunately, it was already beyond 1 o'clock. So I'm just checking in terms of procedure, Chair, because if it happens that CGE sent the written responses, how are we then going to capture them in the report?
What I could do at the end, just before conclusion, the CGE had agreed that they would send the committee additional written responses. So even if it arrives then later today, but I'll put in a sentence that says the CGE agreed that it would submit additional information in writing to the committee. just before the conclusion, that is the sentence I'm including, to indicate the CGE agreed that he'd submit additional information in writing to the committee. So that would, just in case it arrives late this afternoon or this evening, it's all captured in our report that they said they would send information.
Wasn't that the narrative report?
Ke understand the gore ke format a parliament ne this thing but why conclusion number 7 number 8 recommendation conclusion is number 7 and the recommendation is number 8 why can't you put recommendation then at the end of the report we conclude hey let's We'll do it in our own way.
Thank you. I just wanted to check in terms of the APP. When we are talking about the SMART targets and specifically mentioned under 8.1.1, can we not recommend that they should endeavor to submit one APP per year rather than change it 3 times? Because that's what they do. So can we at least encourage them to know where they're going and how they're going to get there and endeavor to submit one APP because I think it's quite serious. It might sound funny, but you get to a crossroad and you're fighting about where we're going to go, you go nowhere.
But this is indicative of their muddledness.
I start down.
I would like one APP as a member of the committee. I would like to encourage the department to submit one APP per year, not 5. No chair.
I'm just so the department should reformulate the targets in the APP and ensure these are SMART and desist from. You see, I think my yeah, like Ms. Bengu says. So and desist from changing. APP during the course of the year.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Because my hesitation to say, make sure you submitted timely, gives them the opportunity to change. They should ensure from the beginning that the APP is correct. So in other words, make sure that it's smart,
yes,
and desist from changing the APP during the course of the
absolutely
year. So your oversight would be, for every quarter, are your targets smart? And desist from changing. Work with what you have. So that would, that in another way, that's saying make just deal with one APP for that year, and we will hold you to account from the beginning because we told you to change it.
We must definitely stress that in our speeches too, so I think it's right. Let's go ahead.
I want to make an input. You know, very simple, page 27. I don't know which number is that, Kashif. The one, the sentence that talks to the outreach and advocacy initiatives. I'm not quite sure. I think it's covered in the APP, ne? No, the numbering is wrong.
Yeah.
The numbering is wrong, ne? Yeah. But the one that talks to the outreach and advocacy, I'm not quite sure it's covered in the APP, the cost implications. Is it covered? Yeah. So let's add the location, how the impact will be measured, and the cost implications.
Thank you, Chair. In terms of the same point, in order to assist this department to stay on track, they should also specify, in terms of that same point, providing more detail on the outreach advocacy groups, how they are related to their mandate. So how are their interventions, how are their actions or plans related to their mandate? To lead, coordinate, and not monitor, is another word, oversee the transformation agenda of women and also economic transformation and inclusion.
And
rights, equality,
gender equality.
So when they are doing anything, how is that achieving their mandate? Because these people, I sympathize. When you are a woman, woman is everywhere. Woman goes across every department, every sphere of government, everything. Now you are the Department of Women, and everyone's looking to you to say, what are you doing for women? But it's not one department. That department needs to lead and coordinate and oversee. But they're not doing that. I think sometimes they think, I have to do this myself. I have to build this basket myself. I don't need to build the basket myself. I need to go and make sure that someone is going to chop the reeds, someone is going to bring the reeds. I need to make sure that someone is skilled to come and weave the reeds together. Then I need to, that kind of thing. That's the Department of Women. Doesn't need to make the basket. They need to make sure the basket is made. There's misunderstanding. But we will help them.
So I've just indicated, I've added how the, on under five, I've indicated the cost implications as Ms. Tseke has requested, as well as clearly indicate how these initiatives are related to the department's mandate. So I've covered both.
Thank you.
cost implications as you requested, as well as indicate how these initiatives are related to the department's mandate.
Remember, we've got three programs, yeah, in the department. The second one being the social economic empowerment of women. The third one being your research, which speaks to advocacy and outreach and advocacy. And when you link the target, your public participation, your outreach, or your community mobilization, your dialogues with program three, they are clearly linked to each other. The problem is, how do they implement it? What are the cost implications? What is the target? You know, the problem is after effect. I don't know, it's the outcome. I don't know how can you phrase it. It's part of their mandate. When they monitor and evaluate, they must be able to educate, create awareness to our people out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We've got it. So what we've said clearly indicate how these initiatives give effect to the department's mandate. Yeah. So in other words, Ms. Teke, that covers you. We know what the department's mandate is. But tell us, when you do this outreach and whatever initiative, how does it give effect to your mandate of coordinating, leading, and finally empowering women? So it's the giving effect. So in other words, when we get your report, show us you reached 5,000 women, but how did that make a difference? What was the impact in giving effect to your mandate? Because your mandate is we want to empower women.
I think this one is also covering us on the issue of the department, because you know, when we go and do oversight, mostly people on the ground, they don't know about the department. Maybe the issue of awareness campaigns will also assist, rather than doing their community dialogue as profiling, you know, because this will not even assist us if there are no awareness about the department. Telling the people there what the department is doing. Because when you go there, you find that the department, even the offices, the officials, they don't even know about that department, because there is no link between the department and the provinces themselves. Even the office of the status of women in the premier's offices, there's no link between them and the department. That if you are talking about the department as the Department of Women, what is the link between those department and the provincial office? Because you will find that maybe in other provinces, the women portfolio or office is based at the, for instance, in the Department of Health, the Department of Education, and you don't know exactly what is there. But maybe if, because we used to tell the department that only if the department can link to the offices of the premier's office instead of any other departments in the province. This is what we needed as the portfolio committee.
Thank you.
quarter one.
Yeah.
Are we realistic in the department should report back to the committee on its monitoring and evaluation framework, systems, indicators, as the quarter one report of 2017-2018. 2017-2018. Mm. 27. Maybe quarter two or quarter. Maybe quarter two. It's a target from last year. Yeah, but you know that they don't have it.
Okay.
Okay.
Ms. Tiki, I think it's what we don't want happening is for you to find yourself in quarter three and four. They come with you and they still say they don't have anything. Even if they come to you in quarter one and say, you know what, we only have these three things, which is fine. The committee would say, yes, we agree with you, but when you look at, consider A, B, C, D. But there needs to, because within 3-4 in the last 6 months, what have the officials been doing? So it doesn't matter. Even if you only come with three things, it's fine, but let the committee give input. If you want quarter three, Ms. Turkey, quarter three is 3-6, it's 9 months down the line. It's 9 months down the line. You mean you only give your committee input for one more quarter, and then you end of the financial year. I think you're placing a lot of pressure if you're asking the on yourself for oversight if you ask too late. Even if they come with three things in quarter one, it's fine. As a committee, you give input right there and then, and you shape how things move along. And Crystal's just showing me now the M&E system. It's something which they had finished in
1617. Cabinet. Which cabinet? The one down the hall?
Yeah.
The one in the passage, which you go?
Yeah.
Lots of cabinets.
I'm just aware of time. Chairperson, can I ask, as we look towards page 28, in terms of policy, there were the, in terms of 8.1.2a, the department should prioritize the review of the framework for women's empowerment and gender equality as a matter of urgency, and this must be made available throughout governments and civil society to include as a mechanism for enhancing. Policy A, and this is about that policy framework that's old.
Yeah.
As a matter of urgency, so full stop. And then we're going to make the second sentence.
This must be made.
Available throughout government and civil society as a mechanism for enhancing gender equality. Because that would capture Honourable Chair's concern to say when the Minister's response was, we don't need to have policy frameworks because all government departments, your experience on oversight and engagement is So in terms of A, the first part of the recommendation is that old framework must be given attention to. The second part is the department must make sure that when it's updated, it must be done and circulated throughout government to capture Honourable Chair's concern that you can't say departments are using something that's relevant, because we've seen actually some departments don't know. So updated, circulated, and why do we want to do it? It's for enhancing gender equality. So we've captured our concern around the observation, as Ms. Tseke said. It's an old policy, it refers to old structures, but also to Honourable Chair's recommendation that all government departments, let them be made aware of what it is that they're supposed to be doing. To enforce, and it's about enhancing gender equality. So we separated the two sentences to capture why it must be updated and two, to who it must be sent.
Excellent.
Thank you, Chair. 28.1.5, in addition to A, B, in relation to what I said earlier, would read, analyze the current organogram and submit the plan on, or the, just submit the department's plan on how it will restructure and capacitate its department.
Productivity, can we add that? Effectiveness and productivity.
The suggestion was analyze the current organogram and report on its plan to restructure and capacitate the department in order to improve effectiveness and productivity.
Read.
Sorry, Madam Chair, just to add to that, a SWOT. So because the department is functioning so poorly, they actually need to, in conjunction with that, they need to identify, do a SWOT analysis and analyze their organogram. So that's all the other proposal is that just before that, to do a SWOT analysis and analyze the current organogram and reports on the restructuring and capacitation. Although SWOT has got nothing to do with HR. Never mind. I withdraw unconditionally.
I wanted to check if Kashiva has captured the recommendation that was made by Honorable Beng previously on the report on the status of women in the South African economy. Remember, we had a recommendation. Yeah, can you capture it on the policy? Yeah, on the program policy. Yeah, and I just want to check, Kashiva. Remember, the department has embarked on a restructuring in 2014, 2015.
And 2016 and
2017.
Oh, wow. Oh, what's that, George?
2014, 2015, 2014, 2015, or 2015, 2016. There was a major restructuring in the department. So do you still recommend that? Do you still recommend that even in 16, 17, 18, 19?
Ms. Grace, just to pick up one of our recommendations for the APP and annual report last year was around the skills audit. Now, to some extent, Ms. Thunder, that would capture some of your concerns around how they're looking, because the skills audit was exactly that, to take stock of who's within your department and how you're utilizing that. So maybe the recommendation should be for the department to present the outcome of the skills audit, because then that will give you an indication as to where the staff is and what the skill capacity is.
Yes, I think that's a good one.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I personally, of course the committee will decide, but I personally feel it should stay the same. Only just last week the minister was reporting to the committee that she had inherited a department that had too many people and they didn't know where to put who where. So with the restructuring, you look at people and you can say, right, what is our mandate? Who do we have and where are we going to capacitate you and apply you so that you can stop saying, because 73 million of the 105. So 72 million rand of 105 on staff specifically. Yes. Anyway, basically the gist of what the minister was saying as an excuse was that she'd inherited this department that had been collapsed from women, children and people with disabilities. That it was this inherited thing that was an organism. It was an apple and now it needs to become a banana. But you know, how does it make that transition? So she's saying she's stuck with an apple, but she needs to make a banana. Now, with that, you have to look at the restructuring and capacitation. It doesn't mean you want to fire people, but a skills audit in itself is not going to be enough, especially when she is the one who is saying that she's got these staff who she can't put them anywhere to do much things. You must capacitate them.
Sorry.
May I just, before you, restructuring was done, it was reported, wait. Some people were then transferred to social development. And then how all of a sudden has there been a period of giving back is my feeling from what Honorable Standard is saying right now. Because we know very well, when she came in, then there was a division, and then some people were transferred to social development. Then, she was not satisfied with other people's skills. Am I wrong?
Yeah.
And then we kept on asking, and then what? Until when? Those were the two questions.
Last week.
Did what? That's what I want clarity on.
Can I speak, please? please, Chair. I have
yes,
to leave.
Okay,
I'm sorry. Thank you. I think, quite honestly, that the business of inheriting certain people is a kind of an excuse. We know that this department, since its very inception, has been dysfunctional. And there have been many restructuring. We had the first minister, then we had Minister Lulu Tlingwana, and only now have we got this lady. So there has been a lot. And I think they are very top-heavy. We have said too much. These people are overqualified in a sense. They're at very high salary levels. One of the questions I asked previously, when they were spending so much money on training, I said, for heaven's sake, these people all have degrees, they've got training. Why do you, they have got skills, why do you have to keep on retraining? You, what you should be doing is focusing on the people outside instead of internally. So in a sense, I think that we don't want to ask for yet another restructuring because it's just an excuse to mark time and to do nothing. And I think this is the case of a very muddled department. So the question, at least the suggestion which came from Crystal, is what about that skills audit we asked you for? And how can people just be shifted in direction?
Okay.
But you know, when people get their degrees, you learn all sorts of things. It's not just in one direction. So we expect people to be able to capacitate themselves as well. And then there can be collaboration with the people who moved out of out of our department into social development. But quite honestly, these people just don't know where they're going. The lack of direction is so clear from the fact that the APP was changed at the last minute. We actually just need to carry on, hold them to account, and let them say, sink or swim, you've got to produce now. You've got to be effective. You've got to be able to produce things, and we want outcomes. I think they must just put their minds to it. Sebenza, roll up your sleeves and get going. Think about the women out there who are suffering. Excuse me, please.
Honourable Chair, because some of the members have left already, and we are expected to adopt the report. That is my concern. For the time now is 12:54, so I think we mustn't take too long. Because some of the issues that are on page 29 have been already dealt with, so I don't think we must continue in that page. Thank you very much.
Chair, just before I leave, and to answer Ms. Bengu's concern that you need everybody to accept, that you need everybody to be able to accept the content of the report, I am largely covered. I'm happy. I think Ashifa and Crystal have done a great job. We've made a certain amount of input. So if you want to do a little bit of tinkering here or there with a few words, I'm not going to object. We accept the content of the report. Whether we accept the budget and everything else, that comes much later. Okay, thank you.
And she's already moved. Are we accepting?
Okay, ma. Challenging, we are
we will put the time frame on both issues. But what we need to do is that we acknowledge that the department is already implementing one household, 1 hectare, which we don't agree. We are saying one woman, one house, 1 hectare. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We must acknowledge that the department is already implementing one household, 1 hectare. Because that's what they said they are implementing when they were presenting with us. Yes, land reform. Yeah, rural and land reform. But we are saying it should be one woman, 1 hectare. And that's what the committee is saying. We don't agree with that. We want them to push it to one woman, 1 hectare. So that should be the emphasis that is in the writing. And you must also change your printing on the M&E. You wrote the end on, this is on your printing, on C.
Yeah,
you must, all right. Thank you very much.
And adoption.
Don't you have any recommendation that speaks to, remember your 15 million for property payment was not only for renter, was not only for building, it was for municipal buildings. So don't you have actually 3 million plus was for municipal services. So don't you have any recommendations that speaks to that? Remember, it is 11M for building, for offices, but 3M plus is for municipal services.
Can I just get clarity for the recommendation? For there's two recommendations we're still going to include. One, around the awareness raising of the visibility of the department, that the committee Ms. Bengal has suggested that. That's going to be something separate. The committee recommends that more efforts need to be done to ensure the mandate of the committee and what it does is made. So within government is made more available. So in other words, there's more awareness about what the department does. For Ms. Tseke, under property payment, are we requesting for more information about the 3 million rand for municipal services? What's the recommendation you're asking? Because under property payment, the minister should engage the Department of Public Works to reassess its lease and the exorbitant rental as a means of cost containment.
Mm-hmm.
So we're saying out of that 15 million, some of it is for lease, some of it is for municipal services. So we've covered the leasing part. Now what are you asking for in terms of municipal services? Yeah. So are we asking for more information?
On that whole line item. 15 million all inclusive. We want line by line. Line item breakdown.
Chairperson, the recommendation I'm going to include, the department to submit more information as to what the municipal services expenditure, because at this moment we can't say it should be less if they're spending more electricity. We can ask for more information, and only once we get more information to know why we're spending 3 million man on 3 floors for municipal services.
And then provide a copy of the rental.
Yeah.
Line item breakdown.
So the recommendation would include the committee requests for more information with respect to fees incurred for municipal expenses.
All financial information related to.
Adoption, please.
I move for the adoption of the report with the amendments made.
I have my hand up. There was something that I wanted to say. God, or
no, it's Choyu who's the question. Yes, ma. You wanted to say something?
There was going to be a suggestion about 8.1.12 to change the wording. That the department needs to not submit to the committee in writing what the magnitude of the problems related to girls' lack of access to sanitary towels are, as well as the gaps, but rather to submit the plan that they will lead coordinate the formulation of the policy and framework for the delivering of the sanitary dignity campaign, as well as to lobby for the VAT removal on sanitary towels. So that was just the thing, because with the focus on sustainability, best practice, and ensure that it reaches women broadly, that was just the watch and don't don that I wanted to make. And 8.1.12c, second line, committee by providing the plan for the year. With these departments, I'm too scared. 1 year, what I'd like to propose is that for the rest of the medium term budget framework, so at least for 17-18 and 18-19, for the time that they have these dialogues planned. So they'll need to provide the plan for 2 years, not just one. So that at least they can think.
Honorable members, thank you very much for your participation. We'll meet in the house.
Always.
As always, do you have time?
Yeah,
okay, let's adopt the menu. We'll start with the ones for 7th March. Bengal. I'm seconding the 7th. Good. The 9th of May. Second. Okay.
Okay.
A woman seems not front and center of importance. When will women get national assembly, or at least old assembly? Hiding woman under the bushel. Shine your light. What? Be bright in the corner where you are.